Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the City of Angels in Los Angeles, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver at caregiverdave.com, along with my lovely, hearty co-host, former mayor of a California beach town and best-selling author who will be here momentarily, Debbie Peterson. And we're also coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 26 global audio video platforms, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio. Oh, the list goes on and on. I won't bore you. In fact, we're proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on FeedSpot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast on the top 50 on Player FM. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Corinne Allman, a trailblazer in the field of aging and founder of Choice Care Navigators, a company dedicated to helping families navigate the aging process. Corinne is dedicated to fostering personal growth, resilience, and authentic living at every age. Background in psychology, her passion lies in reshaping how we perceive older adulthood, a vision she beautifully encapsulates in her groundbreaking book, Teenagers, that's funny, which challenges conventional notions of aging, emphasizing that 55 to 80 years old is an extended middle adulthood, not a decline. So, before we get started, let me take this moment and thank my last week's guest, Dave Jacobs, a seasoned healthcare leader, combined his vast knowledge of geriatric care and passionate advocacy, senior in-home healthcare, and co-founded Home Thrive, a family caregiving solution that combines expert live assistance with navigation with 24/7 digital resources to help caregivers thrive at work and at home. And just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and even this interview on our membership website, caregiverdave.com, or any of our other 26 global audio and video platforms that I mentioned earlier. All right, enough of that. Corinne, so great to have you on the Caregiver Dave show.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
I always like to ask my guests the first question, just who is Corinne Allman and why was she placed on this God's green earth?
I listened to a few of your podcasts and I was thinking about this question.
You were expecting it, weren't you?
I was expecting it. Yes, I came prepared. But it's funny.
One of the smart girls, yes.
I did have to think about it a little bit. And I think ultimately it boils down to being a teacher. I come from a whole family of teachers and I don't teach all the time today in kind of the traditional sense, but I think that is what my life means in terms of when I'm helping families or when I'm giving presentations and talking to people, talking to your audience. I am trying to educate and inform and help people, guide them through the aging process, understanding older adulthood, preparing for it, thinking about it in new ways. And yeah, it ultimately boils down to wanting to teach people, help educate them, and empower them as they move to and through older adulthood.
Great answer. let's ask you some questions. What you do is benefiting caregivers, and you have experience, and you're an expert in your field. So, let me just ask you, how do we overcome aging in our society? We can't get away, from it. And I've been telling my daughter and my granddaughter, and I got seven grandkids, so I train them from an early age. I says, don't forget, thank you, Grandpa, all that stuff. And I said, well, don't forget, one day when I'm really old, you're gonna have to change my diaper. Ooh! And they're adults now, and I just did a big favor again for this 24-year-old granddaughter of mine, and she said, thank you so much. And I said, don't remember. Don't forget that one day you may have to change my diaper. She goes, don't worry, I'll do it. So I got them all trained.
yeah. So I don't think we can overcome aging. It's more that we need to embrace it in the sense that we need to think about what's coming. We need to think about it in a positive way. So we are really in a very ageist society that views aging in a very negative way. We're very youth focused. You've got to look as young as you can. You've got to be as young as you can. And I think my point is more, no, we need to think about what's going to happen as we get older and prepare for it and view it in as positive of a way as we can. And the reason that's important, sometimes people will say to me, oh, well, you know, it really is all downhill and you're just trying to like sugarcoat it or whatever. And that's not true. Everybody is going to face challenges as they get older. There's no doubt about that. That's inevitable. And everybody's challenges will be different. What happens for you will be different than what happens for me or for anyone else. But there is really good research out there now. Dr. Becca Levy at the Yale School of Public Health has shown that how you view aging, positive outlooks on aging, can add 7.5 years to your lifespan. So it also impacts your health. People with positive views are healthier. They live longer. They have better memory. They recover more quickly from illness or injury. So viewing it and thinking about it in a positive way and preparing for it really matters when it comes to how you are actually going to experience your older adulthood.
Wow. I guess that's what it means when you say, are you aging gracefully? Right? And, I'm a product of the 70s. That's when I was a teenager and stuff. And so I get a kick. I'm a member of AARP, who isn't, when these magazines come in and I see, you know, like Henry Winkler, this old guy now on the cover, or, these rock star musicians that we used to worship, Bono. And they're on the cover of AARP. It is so funny, but hey, they're embracing their age, aren't they?
Yeah. And, it's happening to all of us. We're going to be older at the end of this interview than we were when it started. Aging is not, sorry. it's not something that's happening to old people. It's happening to everyone. And this is also why how we think about aging really matters. Like, if you don't like how older people are viewed or how older people are treated, you should really care about changing that messaging or changing that view, because guess what? You are going to be there one day. To go back to your example with your grandkids, they should really care about how you are treated as you get older, because someday they are going to be older and someone is going to have to take care of them or treat them in that same way. So it's not just an older person's issue. It's everyone's issue, because either you're going to get older or you're going to have the alternative, which most of us don't really want either. So it's really an everyone issue.
And let's take that to the next level, because, I cared for my mother when she had dementia. I cared for my mother-in-law. Now I'm caring for my aunt, my mother's sister, and they're watching me do this, So I have a gas station for like 45 years. And so one time this guy came in and he was buying something, ordering some gas, and he didn't realize it, but his elderly father followed him into the store really slow. And you can tell he was really old. And when he noticed that he was there, he says, "What are you doing? I told you to stay in the car. You do this every single time." And the guy just humiliated his father in front of the entire store. And he had a little kid with him, his son. And he was watching and listening to this whole thing. And I'm thinking, cats in the cradle. Your kids are going to do the same thing to you, buddy.
That's right. They're watching. They're watching how you treat the other people around you. And guess what? Someday that's going to be you.
So as caregivers, because the show is for burnout caregivers, how do we stand up against aging to those we care for? Because right now, like I said, I'm caring for my aunt, and it's not a very nice job. She has dementia. You can either be a really nice teddy bear when you have dementia, or you can be a witch And I got the witch with her. She just thinks I'm evil, that I'm the devil, that I've murdered people, I'm part of the mob. And, you know, so I have to be nice to this person. I have to care for this person. I have to, you know, make sure this person gets proper care, and that, you know, I'm in the process of trying to get her on Medicaid so that I can put her in a nice assisted living facility that she can't afford, and so on. It's hard.
Absolutely. It is hard. And
because I don't
no...
want to be like that. I tell my kids, I joke around. I says, I ever get like that, I'll show you where the guns are, make it look like an accident. You know, but I'm not sure I'm really kidding. But
you know, dementia is really hard for both the individual going through it and for all the caregivers. And I don't think there's an easy answer. And I would be giving you a disservice if I tried to pretend like there was one. I think the things that we have to think about as caregivers as we grow older is, you know, you want to take the very best care of her that you can. Caregiving is normal. Caregiving should be expected. I think we kind of portray it in our country like it's abnormal. We don't support caregivers the way we should. We don't offer paid leave for it. We don't offer, you know, a lot of support for it. We tend to kind of, people don't talk about it either. Sometimes that's because they don't really realize they're a caregiver, right? They don't identify as a caregiver, but sometimes it's because they don't want to tell other people about having to change someone's diaper or having to deal with that person in a way that seems disrespectful or really different than what that individual was like prior to dementia.
Sure.
But I think if we really could change our perspective about caregiving as being kind of this one-off, like it's abnormal or people don't really do it, and really start thinking about it as a normal life experience. Almost, you know, what is it that the saying, you know, if you aren't a caregiver yet, you will be.
Right.
Everyone should expect, yeah, it's inevitable. Everyone should expect to have that role at some point in their life. My father-in-law passed away a few years ago from dementia. And, you know, we've been through that experience you're describing where it's not pleasant. And what do you do to try to continue to take care of them and be respectful of them? Because this is someone that was important in your life. But also, this is not the same person anymore. And realizing that those feelings are completely normal and that there are lots of other people going through it, normalizing the idea of caregiving and that entire experience, I think goes a long way for opening the door for people to get support, to talk about it, you know, to find podcasts like yours, to find support groups, so that it's not, instead of caregiving being an isolating experience, it being more of a community experience that we know everyone is either going through or is going to go through at some point.
Yeah, that's so true. So what do families need to know as they navigate the aging process that you haven't already discussed? Because,
sure.
You know, caregiving is a family sport, so to speak. Even the
yeah,
kids
it
get
is.
Involved, you know. No, you're not going to school today. You have to watch grandma. I got to go to work.
So it's funny you say that. The way I got into what I do now, so I am a care manager. I run a care management agency. And what we do is help individual families navigate senior care here in the North Carolina area. And I got into that because we lived right next door. When I was growing up, I lived right next door to my grandparents and everything was great until my grandfather kind of passed away very quickly. And once that happened, my mom and her sister realized that my grandmother had dementia and they didn't really know it. My grandfather had done such a good job of taking care of her
Wow.
and protecting her that they didn't realize that she really couldn't be left alone once he had passed. And so they got thrown into caregiving very quickly, did not know what the resources were that were out there, did not know how you could afford things, you know, what do we do? Where do we go? Yeah. All that stuff. And this was I was in middle school, high school. So this is like late 80s, early 90s for me. And I just remember thinking, this is terrible. Why isn't there someone who helps you figure this stuff out? Yeah. So fast forward, I go on to school and graduate school and specialize in working with older adults. And then eventually started my business, which is exactly what we do. We help families. So when somebody has a loved one with dementia, with Parkinson's, with any sort of illness where that family needs help figuring out what are the resources that are out there? How do we navigate this? What can we afford? How do we qualify for Medicaid? Will we ever qualify for Medicaid? We help families figure all those things out. And if the loved one is here close by, we will be the feet on the ground for a family. So a lot of our families, the senior is here, the adult children live out of state, live in another country. And so we are kind of the day-to-day, go see what's happening, go to the doctor's visit, get the prescriptions, make sure everything is coordinated, and then reporting back to those adult children or family members saying kind of what is happening with mom or dad, aunt or uncle, whoever that loved one is. So, you know, I got here because I saw just how awful it was when you get thrown into this and you don't know what you don't know. And to be honest, most people don't really want to know until you
need
until
to know basis.
It's a need to know basis, right? Like, I can't tell you how many people, you know, call and say, well, we're thinking about, you know, moving to a community. There's that really pretty one on XYZ Road. You know, we think that would be nice. And it's completely the wrong level of care. They don't offer what they need. And we have to kind of coach them through that because, you know, they've driven past a retirement community, but they've never really looked at it. They don't know what they offer, all those kinds of things. So we don't pay attention to it until it's really important to us right now. And that's right. What we help families, you know, navigate through.
Well, three things. I appreciate what you said with that they didn't realize she had dementia. My mother was very lovable. She's real kind of an airhead, respectfully. She was kind of like those characters on TV, Gracie Allen, you know, George Burns' wife, kind of, you know, the funny one. And she would, the jokes always go over her head. She was like Edith Bunker on All in the Family. She's kind of like the Golden Girls, Rose. Mm-hmm. And so when you're like that and you start getting dementia, you just think she's acting normal because, you know, but when she started calling me in the middle of the night saying, you know, I went downstairs to the cafeteria, she's in a independent living at the time, for lunch, and it's dark outside and everybody's home, and the clock said 12 o'clock, you know, and we tried buying her, she couldn't read the clock anymore, we tried buying her a digital clock, but then she just couldn't get the AM and the PM thing, and so I knew there was a problem. Of course, I knew there was a problem before that, but it was just getting worse and worse. Second thing is, I need to pick your brain after the show because I'm going through some issues with my aunt right now in the skilled nursing center she's in. And they're threatening, they're saying that the insurance is going to stop paying because she's plateaued in her broken ankle therapy. But the doctor says, no, she's got her ankle as good as new. And so we're fighting here. And he says, you should appeal that as a unsafe discharge. And, yep. And so they're pushing back on it. And I think they're just trying to intimidate me. And then the last thing I wanted to tell you was, need to know basis, because if somebody told me 27 years ago when my wife had a stroke and we were going through the grief process and all that, that 27 years from now I'd still be dealing with this, I don't know what I would have done. You know, you have trouble just getting through one day at a time. Let's not deal with it. Even the Bible says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And we worry, 90% of all things that I worry about never happen anyway. So don't waste your energy and your time and all that on that. So that's all I got to say about that. What's the importance of finding purpose and meaning in post-retirement years? Because I'm approaching that. I just turned 70 and retirement is starting to look pretty good, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, the thing that really surprised me when I started my business was I really expected to be working, and this is very naive of me, I'm going to acknowledge that right up front. I really thought I'm going to be working with 45-year-olds who are trying to care for 70-year-old parents. And that is completely wrong. I am working with 70-year-olds caring for 95-year-old parents. And one of the things that inspired me, that is one of the things that inspired me to write the book, because I thought, I have this whole background, in working with older adults. That's what my training is in. And I thought, if I, even with all that training, was so wrong about what older adulthood actually looks like, then all the rest of us have misconceptions as well. And so I wrote the book and interviewed a whole bunch of people in their 60s, 70s, early 80s, who are, as I call them, keenagers, K-E-E-N. Uh-huh. And they're people who are doing all kinds of interesting things in what I'm going to put in quotes as the retirement years. And that's simply because they're the retirement years because our perceptions of retirement have not been updated as we have lived longer lives and we are healthier longer than we were before. We still, we think about retirement at 65, and most people at 65 are still going, right? They're still ready to work. Uh-huh. They're still ready to contribute. And what I have found is that people who approach retirement age and they've done their financial planning, there's lots of good financial planning out there, but they're just thinking, oh, I'm going to retire and it's going to be bliss and I'm going to do all these things I've thought about doing. They have kind of a honeymoon period of about 18 months to 2 years. And then after that, they get real sad. Because they don't have purpose. They don't, their social world shrinks. They're not, going out and meeting with as many people. They're not doing things. They're not getting cognitive stimulation because they're not going to work anymore. And so what people actually really need to be thinking about as they approach retirement age, again, I'm going to put that in quotes, is what am I going to be doing in these next years that is going to make me want to get out of bed on a Wednesday morning? What is going to be my purpose, the thing that's going to give my life fulfillment? And it can be all kinds of things. Like, I interviewed people who have started nonprofits, started new businesses, they're caregiving, they're volunteering, they're writing books, they're doing all kinds of things. And that's great. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe it's working for money, maybe it's not, who knows? But it's whatever is going to give you purpose as you go through those years. So I really argue that we not only need to do financial planning as we get older, we need to be doing social and emotional planning for these retirement years as well. Because otherwise, I mean, there's good research out there now that shows that if you just sit on the couch or, just play golf, don't do anything cognitively stimulating, and you don't, keep connecting with new people and having conversations and all these things, retirement can actually be pretty bad for you in terms of your health and your well-being.
And, Corinne, it's not just retirement from your career. It's retirement from caregiving. Your loved one dies and you've been caring for decades. And now it's like, well, what do I do?
That was your role. Yeah.
And they become depressed. They become suicidal, believe it or not, some of them.
Yeah.
And, instead of being grateful that you've been released from caregiver prison with the life sentence of no possibility of parole, now you're free. Instead of embracing that, they feel guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because that was, your identity and your purpose for so long. I mean, caregiving comes with a lot of burden, absolutely, but caregiving also comes with some positive things. You feel like you're giving back to someone, that what you're doing has meaning, and it does. And then when that's gone, we've got to figure out where we go from there.
Yeah, now you're in care management. Where are your pain points in what you do?
Pain points. Give me an example.
Well, aren't there any pain points that you found in caring for a loved one? I mean, you were a caregiver at one time, right?
Yeah. Well, we've had to care. I was, part of that whole experience with my grandmother and then my other grandmother as well. And then with my father-in-law, my parents right now are 79 and 80, and my dad has Parkinson's. And so we're, you know, going through that experience as well. Yes. It, you know,
and not only that, you're really caring for caregivers as well, because you're helping them go through what they're going through. And does some of their pain rub off on you, where you, you know, like Bill Clinton's famous line, I feel your pain, you know?
You know, I think the biggest pain point for me as a care manager and potentially as a caregiver is feeling like you know what a family member or a care someone should do. You feel like you know how to solve a problem, or you could solve it for someone, and they won't listen. In the sense, so you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
It's like a drug addict. You can't want it more than them. They gotta want to.
They gotta want it. You know. So we see this as a care manager. I see this over and over and over again, where we've got a older adult who would benefit from something. They would benefit from home care. They would benefit from a therapy, something like that. And they just won't do it.
Support group.
Yeah, support group. They just, caregivers would benefit from a support group. They just won't do it. And I think it's a combination of being overwhelmed, right? Being overwhelmed, being stressed out. I can't do one more thing. But especially for my older adults who won't do things, it's like holding on to independence. I get to make this decision, you know, if they don't have dementia or anything like that. And so they just hold on to any scrap of normalcy that they can, even if it's detrimental. So, for example, everybody wants to stay at home as long as possible, which is great. I understand that. But some people will stay at home. They will fight to stay at home even when the house is killing them, right? The house is not safe for them. Maybe the neighborhood has changed around them. There's stairs. It's inaccessible. There's all kinds of things. But they fight tooth and nail for that, even though they would really benefit maybe from moving to a retirement community. We actually had a client here not that long ago that really fought to stay at home. She ended up in the hospital, and then she moved to assisted living, and she is thriving in assisted living. She's doing so well. But if you talk to her, she will tell you, I was doing just as good at home. I should be at home. I can go back home. And it's not true. We all around her can see it, but she still doesn't buy in. And that is the biggest frustration for me and for a lot of the families we work with, for the caregiver, when they're trying to take good care of someone, and that someone is kind of going, you can take your care and shove it.
That happened to me 27 years ago, when my wife was going through her grief process. I was going through it also. And we lived in a beautiful mansion in Burbank, California, multi-level. And my gas station was, you know, 36 minutes away, and I was commuting for 19 years. Either she was not getting neglected, or my station was getting neglected. I says, we have to move closer to my business. I'm sorry. And she just fought tooth and nail, and we fought about it for almost a year. And finally, you know, we were in debt. It would have been good to get out of the debt and downsize. Finally, I just put my foot down, and I says, you know what? I'm moving. I'd love for you to come with me. You want to stay here with your kids who hardly ever visit you anyway? I'll get you an apartment next to them. But I'm moving because I need to downsize and I need to take care of the station. I'd love for you to come with me so I can take care of, you know, an ultimatum. And she sulked for like 3 days, and then she came and says, okay, but I get to pick out the house. And so sometimes, you know, that mountain was worth dying on, you know, choose your battles, but the house was killing her. And it's been 25 years, and you know, she complained for about a year, and rebelled, but you know what? It's a temper tantrum, right? You have a 2-year-old, and they want their way, especially a strong-willed person like that. I say, well, be strong and do it. You know,
and adults are strong-willed and have their own forms of temper tantrums. There's just no there's no denying that.
Well, we're running out of time. Real quickly, you know, I was hoping to talk about some myths of aging. And, well, let's just talk about that, and then we'll wrap it up. And anything else that you want to throw in there that we haven't discussed?
Sure. I mean, I think the biggest thing about myths about aging is that, you know, our stereotypes about aging don't apply to everyone. They're not universal. As we get older, things are going to change, but it's not this given that it's going to all be downhill and deterioration. And there's, again, you have a lot of impact on how things are going to go. Do you have impact over everything? No, but you know, your outlook, how well you take care of yourself, these kinds of things do influence how it's going to go. And again, how well you're treating the other older people around you so that you're modeling it for your family members. I forgot the other thing you asked me. It was myths of aging and...
Myths of aging. Well, you talked about, just aging and healthcare, but anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
Well, aging and healthcare, the biggest thing there is ageism in healthcare. It is very clear that doctors, nurses, healthcare practitioners do not get much training, if any, on working with older adults, even though that is a large part of the population they're going to work with. Unless you have a geriatrician who's specifically been trained in geriatrics, they get almost no training. And so you really have to advocate for yourself or your loved one. You know, if your doctor or healthcare person is just saying, oh, that's just because you're getting older, or you're getting older, what do you expect? You know, you have to fight back against that, because that is just kind of the norm. And if your loved one is getting spoken to in that kind of what we call elder speak, kind of that, how are you today, honey? You know, like baby talk, you know, saying, please address me as an adult, right? Or speak, you know, my name is, and be very clear about it, because that is just rampant in healthcare as well. I actually did a presentation for some healthcare providers not that long ago, and one of the folks came up afterwards and she said, I know that. I know I shouldn't do that. And yet I know I just did it yesterday. Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's this kind of automatic response people have.
And you talk about the myths in aging. You know, I'm caring for my aunt who's 85, and she's in a independent living, which she's outgrown because she fell and broke her ankle because she was doing something she shouldn't have been doing. No one's watching her. She lives with her boyfriend of all people, who's 89. Mm-hmm. And that shattered a myth of mine that old people, you know, can have romantic sex and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And
that never goes away. And thank goodness.
That gives me hope for the future, I guess.
Exactly. Like, we kind of think, I don't want to think about that. That doesn't happen. But yet, you know, think about yourself. You may want that when you get there. And thank goodness we do. Yeah.
And when I was working at the local senior center, I was singing songs for them during lunch hour and this and that. And I could see these couples just connecting, you know, and holding hands. As one or two of them even got married, and they're like in their 90s. This is a little good for you, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, what if people want to learn more about you? How can they get a hold of you? And
sure.
Book coming?
So I have a website. It's CorinneAllman.com. So my name, and that is, you can contact me through that if you would like. You can also find the book on that website if you're interested in that. The name of the book is Keenagers, Telling a New Story About Aging. And it's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble website. Really anywhere books are sold, you can get it.
Great.
The other thing I want to mention, I'm a care manager in Greensboro, North Carolina. If anyone is looking for a care manager in their local area, our professional organization is aginglifecare.org. And you can go on their website. There's an orange button up in the right-hand corner and search by zip code to find a professional care manager wherever you live.
Wow, that's very, very helpful. Aginglifecare.org.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, all our live shows become recorded pod and videocasts on all your favorite platforms. My number one best-selling book, Secrets from the Hammock, Uncommon Wisdom for Uncommon Times, is spreading wisdom all over the world. Available wherever books are sold, Audible, hardcover, paperback, and Kindle, and also on caregiverdave.com. You know, you can also schedule a free 30-minute initial coaching call there. Talk about whatever you're struggling with. Many times, 30 minutes of wisdom is all it takes to resolve a problem. Again, it's caregiverdave.com. And also, I invite you to join my Caregiver Dave Facebook community of 34,000 caregivers. Lots of tools, resources, videos, this radio show, and much, much more. And if you just click the like or follow button on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this interview on, it helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithms. So again, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you to all my people who tune in every week, helping us to become the number one caregiver podcast on the internet. Until next week, same time, same channel. May God richly bless you all. Bye-bye.
We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. You can get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing.